Weather's getting nicer. Flowers are beginning to bloom. It's a great time to go on a road trip. Because we're talking movies, we're talking Driveway Dolls, starring Margaret Qualley, Geraldine Viswanathan, I'm so sorry, and a bunch of fucking cameos. This movie is written by Teresa Cook and Ethan Coen, who also directed. Chris, why would anyone want to go to Tallahassee, Florida?
Listen, I'm from Texas. We don't read minds. We operate on a handshake basis. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of How'd You Like That Movie? We are going to be talking about Ethan Coen's first real narrative film on his own, Driveway Dolls from 2024. So, Scott, why don't you jump in the driving seat and drive us away?
So, Chris, a root canal, a vasectomy. Having my nails pulled out of my fingers. That is stuff I would rather do than watch this fucking movie again.
I feel like we're in agreement.
Yeah, man, for his first one out, let's just say maybe his brothers, you know, should be a part of it. Because for the guys who brought you, fucking No Country for Old Men, fucking True Grit, like amazing fucking
The Big Lebowski, movies. Like,
yeah, I can't, like, this seemed to me like it was like a Wes Anderson film that just like went off the rails. Because what your complaint was for Astro City is technically exactly what I found with this one. It's just like everybody was, with the exception of one person, everybody was deadpan, same monotone kind of delivery. And it was a story that fucking went nowhere. Like, there was no journey here.
Well, I mean, there is a journey. It's just a nonsensical journey of any... I mean, the characters technically end up in a different place, like, physically. They emotionally end up in different places. Okay, so it's definitely got, like, early Coen Brothers, like, vibes going on. Like, kind of, like, Raising Arizona, kind of, even Big Lebowski. Like, that kind of kook. You know how, like, the Coen Brothers, like, No Country for Old Men is, like, very serious, and then they also have like their kooky stuff like Fargo and The Big Lebowski. So it definitely has like the, like I said, Raising Arizona, Big Lebowski vibe. But I think one of the big challenges is the fact that A, yes, this is the first time that Ethan is directing a narrative by himself. He did do Jerry Lee Lewis, The Trouble in Mind for A24. But I mean, that's a documentary, right? So we're talking about a totally different animal. The big challenge, though, I think is, A, he's doing his first narrative on his own, but more importantly, his wife is, like, writing on this, Trisha Cook, who is primarily an editor. Like, this is really her first feature. And they actually have another one coming up called Honey Don't, which maybe Honey Don't after watching this. She was the editor on The Big Lebowski and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And The Man Wasn't There. And a bunch. She was the associate producer on some of the earlier work. But this is her first, like, big, like, feature writing credit. And I'm like, okay, so you've got... And so her personal life is she's queer. They actually have, like a polyamorous relationship. So I'm like, okay, so that's where the LGBTQ story is coming from. I think the original title of this was supposed to be Drive Away Dykes. But he's truly kind of like trying to infuse his writing sensibilities into it. And like none of it works. Like none of this film works at all. I mean, there's some funny points at points, but for the most part, it's just a colossal mess, which is interesting too, because she's also, like I said, primarily an editor. And I just don't know if, like, there's too many, like, new people. There's too many people doing things they don't normally do. Plus, you're married to each other. So, I don't know. Like, him and his brother, they have clearly worked out a system to direct. And I just don't think that they have that together as a couple. And I mean, so there's a quote from him that where he says, his wife in every way except the name is co-director of this movie. Okay. How long have you been making movies with your brother? How long did it take to like get that kind of synergy? Nothing works in this film. I mean, there's some interesting cinematography from Ari Wagner, who does awesome work in Lady Macbeth. One of my favorite films, Zola. Definitely check that out. Take a listen to our show on Zola. Also got an Oscar nod for The Power of the Dog. Basically, one of the only things good about The Power of the Dog was the cinematography. But yeah, like hands down, fucking pointless movie. Just a fucking colossal mess. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Scott. I don't know.
No, I don't want to bash too much because, you know, I'm not a dick like you. But yeah, like I agree. Like from like pretty much beginning to end, I was just like, it didn't hold my interest as I thought it would. And it just seemed like it was taken from kind of the David Lynch kind of thing, like, okay, we're just gonna write seven scenes and kind of just put them together and that's our movie, right? Because it just seemed like that's what it was. It was, and that's what I mean, like there was no journey. It just seems like, okay, we need a scene of college soccer players making out because that's apparently what college lesbian soccer players do, so they're just gonna go make out. Be like, okay, we're gonna need a sex scene. Right, the intercutting, like finding out what the lava lamp, like 70s intercut was in between scenes. You know that.
Sorry, did you actually figure out what that was? Because I didn't. The one with Miley Cyrus.
That's the senator's LCD trip in the 70s.
Oh, LSD trip. That's
his trip.
Okay, wow, right? You picked that. I was like, what is this? What the fuck is the point of this?
Yeah, that was his trip that apparently that's when you find the like when you find out what's in the achete, right? Like that, you're just like, okay, kind of thing.
Yeah, why did it have to be that? Like, why couldn't it just like, okay, if we were going to make this properly, I think the whole like female road movie, you know, a case, you pick up the wrong car, like fine, maybe just do that. It's almost like they tried to do too many things and none of them hit. Go ahead.
They did do that. And it was Ridley Scott and it was called Thelma and Louise. Just fucking go watch that movie.
It is a good film, actually.
but yeah, like once you find out what's in the achete, you're just like, okay, whatever. And then it just made everything. Like I think every reveal just became anticlimactic, right? There was no like, oh wow, like even the ending and like spoilers. So you know, Matt Damon is a senator going for re-election. So it's not even like he's trying; like he's already been elected. People know who the fuck he is. So he's going to just put a ski mask on, and if his thing worked, he was just going to put a ski mask on, kill two people, and just walk away in a club full of people and eyewitnesses that would have seen him leave with the achete and then come back with the achete, except now he just has a ski mask. Like, to me, that it's just like, okay, we just need to wrap this up. How are we going to wrap it up quickly?
Well, and you know, both him and Pedro Pascal, like, what the fuck do you need those cameos for? Like, it's just like, it's a flex. Like, I'm one of the Coen brothers and look what I can do. Like, oh, look, I got Miley Cyrus over here. I was just like, honestly, like, just cast fucking regular actors. Like, don't worry about trying to bring in some big guns that are going to do nothing because they feel like they're doing nothing. Like, there's no the extra value for them being there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree.
So when you say the one person, so who was it that you thought did a great job? Because I actually thought that
I didn't say a great job. I just said somebody actually emoted, and that was Margaret
Qualley.
Yeah, she was the only one that like seemed like she wasn't monotone, right? Like she will, like, you know, Curly behind me. I think he was the best part of that fucking movie. because he was just like, don't call me Curly, because that
Which is
seems.
also in the trailer. Like, it's again, it's another one of these. Probably the best stuff is just like watch it a couple times, the trailer, and you'll be happier than watching this whole film. So Margaret, it's interesting. So she was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. She plays Pussycat, and she basically plays a similar version of that character. In that one, basically, the lines I really remember is when she says to Brad Pitt, I'm old enough to fuck you, but you're too old to fuck me. Like, she plays one of the Manson girls or whatever.
Yeah.
And then in Poor Things, she also had I think she's got to be very careful. She doesn't end up playing just like the erratic woman character. I do like her.
She was really good in the Netflix show, The Maid.
Oh,
if you haven't watched that.
That's right. She is in that. I forgot about that. That's a really good show. Mm-hmm. Point taken. She's also the daughter of Andy McDowell. Like, it's again another one of these like nepo babies. It's like, god damn it, like breaking into Hollywood's hard enough, like especially when you're competing against people whose like parents basically run the fucking place. But I mean, this thing, I cannot believe this only has an 84 minute running time, because I felt like I was watching it forever. Like like an acid trip that you can't get off. I was like, holy shit, is this a 3-hour movie? No, it's actually like a super short film that just feels like it's taking forever.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, and I don't think, like, yeah, like in terms of Rotten Tomatoes, you got a 63 by critics and a 36 by the audience.
Which is
there,
spooky that you can just invert those numbers.
Okay. But yeah, like I think it's total agreement here. Like there wasn't anything here that kind of like held my interest. Like even the two like
like the B story, criminals coming to get them kind of storyline there.
Yeah, like even that, right? And then when that blows up, they just have that little dialogue scene that's off to the side. And it's like the one guy is confessing his love to the other one. Like, I just did that to keep us awake, but you liked it. You admit it. And then he just shoots people and then runs away with the gun. He's going to plant the gun on the one guy, so it makes it seem like it's a murder suicide. But then when it's out of bullets, he's like, I'm just going to run away with the gun. Now it's just a murder.
Yeah.
I didn't get it at all. Right. I just think it was, you know, I just think it was bad. And I apologize, because I know it takes a lot to get the stuff done. And a lot of people.
Does it when you're one of the Coen brothers, does it take a lot to get done?
It does. Because I feel like you still got to do it. Like you, even if you are part of the Coen brothers, like you still got to sell it. Like you still need people to buy into it and buy the movie and people to distribute the movie. And, you know, everybody's, as much as you want to say, like their blood, sweat and tears went into it. Like they, like I'm going to assume wholeheartedly that they're like, you know, this is the best draft of the best product we can do. And we're going to put our best foot forward. And we're going to bring our best product. Right. But yeah, I just think that it got tangled somewhere in there that, you know, whether it's the same conversation we had with House of Cards when Buddy's dealing with his wife, maybe you're just like, okay, I don't want to say no to her because
she's my wife.
You know, I gotta.
She's my wife.
Her. Yeah. You know, be like, honey, you know, you'd be great. And that's the thing. Like, I know you're saying, like, prior to this, this was her first written screen, but as an editor, like you're visually cutting that story together all the time. And if you look at the stuff she edited prior, like
it's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. So like you can see that she is able to.
But you can only edit what you have. Right? So if you have shitty dialogue, all the fucking editing magic in the world is not going to fix that. If you don't have the right shots, you have nothing to fucking edit together. So like if you don't have a proper fucking story, you can go all crazy with your editing process. You're still only going to do so much, right?
Yeah, I agree. Well, maybe she didn't edit this together, did she? Like, they had another editor, correct?
No, I think she's the primary editor on this film.
Oh, as well. Oh, okay.
So I guess the best way that they could have approached this is, because I'm assuming the story came directly from her. Because, I mean, I don't think he has a whole lot of experience being a lesbian woman. And, I mean, she definitely quotes a lot of, like, old school grindhouse type stuff. Like, Faster, Pussycat, Kill, 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 which is a very cool film. Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. But I'm a Cheerleader. Okay, that's fine. Those are great starting points. The Coen brothers, again, Ethan and Joel, both know tons of great screenwriters. They're in Hollywood. Just go get, like, a really dope, if you want specifically, like, an LGBTQ, like, go get a lesbian screenwriter. Sit down. Do your writing team there, and don't try and make a Coen brothers film. Because that's what, there seems to be this, they're trying to intersect, like, this, it's almost like it's a lesbian Coen brothers film, and neither of those works. So just, and maybe don't have your husband direct it. You know what I mean? Like, just what do, be in service of your story, not in your household fucking project, I guess. I mean,
so to ask you a question. So he does this one,
yeah,
his first, and his brother does Tragedy of Macbeth.
Yeah, which is a very cool film.
But what I'm saying is, we enjoyed it, but we also had issues with it as well. Tragedy of Macbeth.
Sure, but I mean, our issues with it were not that. I think that he got exactly the film he wanted, which is, he wanted a German expressionist style Macbeth, and he's got that. I mean, Macbeth's not a super exciting story. I know there's lots of killing and notable quotables in it, but it's actually not a super fun and jazzed up kind of script. So, I mean, I think he did fine. I mean, I'm much less critical of the Tragedy of Macbeth than I am of this absolute piece of dog shit.
So I was going to say, do you think after they did these, they're like, you know, it's like, you know, a band, you know, they go do their solo record after, and then they come back and do, like, fucking No Country for Old Men 2. Be like, this is what we can still do, motherfuckers.
Well, I mean, the rationale that was given by both brothers to why they are currently not making films together is just that the last couple films were really hard on them and hard on their relationship, as, you know, in post, and just the whole production of it. So, I mean, they're rich, they're famous, they've got awards. I mean, it's cool. Like, I guess it's groovy, man. Like, you want to go do your own thing? I'm here for you. But especially because if you were not Ethan Coen, you're not going to get the same level of criticism. You know, a great attempt by a first-time director, blah, 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 blah. But you are one of the Coen brothers. You had access to actors. You had access to all the stuff that Hollywood can give you. And this is what you put out. You know better. When you read that script, you should have known better. Like, they have Oscars for screenplays. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you get no pass. You know, you're not getting any fucking give from film critics on this, which I'm surprised that the film critics are even giving it as high as it did, man. Like, the audience fucking butchered this thing. 36 is not, that is not anywhere close to an appropriate score for someone of this level of talent.
Yeah, I'd agree. But yeah, like, some of the shots, some of the stuff that were done, it did seem like, to me, I'm like, oh, this is kind of like film school kind of thing. Like, when they're in that, like, car and it's, like, swerving, and it's just like the shot from underneath showing it up, and it's just like them jerking that way and then screaming that way. I was just like, oh yeah. I'm like, okay. I'm like, this is something that Chris Langford would direct. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. So it's interesting you bring that up. So, I mean, obviously I'm constantly taking courses and stuff outside of actual production. And one of the things that came across in one of my directing courses is this concept of, like, and this is one of these super simple statements that also means so much. What is that, when you're directing something, what is the purpose of a shot? You know, why is that shot there? And if you can't answer that, maybe it shouldn't. And I've been guilty of this as myself, is like making films and I'm like, oh, I want this really cool dolly shot. And then you go, oh, I mean, it doesn't actually do anything except fucking look cool. And I agree with you. There's a lot of stuff in this that somebody was like, oh man, I watched this Grindhouse film and they did this camera movement. Let's do that. Oh, we watched a Grindhouse film and they did this camera movement. Let's do that. But they're not digging into, well, why are they doing that camera movement? Some of it was just maybe because it was the 70s and they've got a low budget and so they're running and gunning. And so you get a bunch of, like, you know, camera movement. Or is it an artistic choice? But again, because this is Ethan Coen, you don't get a pass on, I get it, it's your first film. Like, you fucking know how to direct a film.
I was going to say, you can't really say it's his first film, though. It's his first film by himself, but...
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Like, but even still, like, it's not his first film. He's directed a shit ton of film. Even co-directed it. Like,
that's what I'm saying, is that you don't get the it's my first film pass. Like, you don't get it is not your first film. And I almost feel like it's a cop-out. I mean, I should have looked at, like, when he made this quote about, like, saying that his wife is the co-director and everything but name. Because it was like, were you the director? And then it's being shit. And now it's like, well, I mean, we co-directed and she's not as experienced. Like, again, maybe he should have put on, like, you know, really, like, said, hey, I'm going to direct this since this is your first, like, major screenplay. And it's got to be, again, even when I watched this, though, I knew going in that it was Ethan's film. And when I saw what the content was, like, how, like, hardcore, specifically, like, lesbian it was, I didn't know that his wife had written it at the time. And I was like, yo, what the fuck is this dude doing directing this film? And again, I think there's always a place for, like, men to be doing, you know, female content and female to be doing male content. This is pretty specific. So maybe he, A, should not have fucking directed this. And like I said, B, she should have worked with another screenplay writer, shared writing credits, and made a better fucking screenplay.
Well, maybe what that quote you're saying he did, maybe that's how this movie got made. Maybe she wrote it, wanted to edit it, but she also wanted to direct it, and no one wanted to pick it up. And he was like, all right, I'll put my name on this. And he was just sitting in his director's chair and letting her do everything. And he was just there as, hey, good job, honey. Or, hey, I would recommend doing this. Maybe take this shot.
Well,
right?
And maybe, listen, maybe you're right. That I could totally see that playing out. But guess what? Now that your name is on this as a director, you're the one who's going to get the fucking criticism and not her. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach their upcoming film. Because they're, again, they're the Honey Don't. She's writing on it again. He's directing. It's got Margaret Qualley again. So I know, like, the Coen brothers like to work with the same people all the time. So maybe they're trying to go down that route. And again, maybe the next film is like fantastic. And, you know, your sophomore film is better than your original film. That's great. But going honestly, this is not a good film. I don't recommend it really for any reason at all.
So I was looking up this Honey Don't because you just mentioned it. So did you read what the, you know, tagline
like the synopsis is?
Yeah. So, okay. You ready?
Yeah, go.
So Coen's new film continues his B-movie trilogy. Or his lesbian B-movie trilogy after Drive Away Dolls, centering on two women on a road trip.
For fuck's sakes. So you know what? Don't release it. Just don't fucking release it, okay?
So this one has Margaret Qualley,
mm-hmm.
Aubrey Plaza, and apparently Chris Evans.
And you know what? I don't know if I would want to put Audrey... It's Aubrey Plaza. Aubrey. I always get her name. Yeah. With Margaret Qualley. I think that they both have very distinct, extreme acting kind of positions. And I don't think those are going to work together. I think it's going to be too much of a good thing put in a mix. And it's going to be like oil and water. Like, I'm happy to be proven wrong. But I don't see those two working together. And especially because Aubrey Plaza, for the most part, I found has no ability to get outside of that weird range that she has, or weird acting performance she has, which is fine. It works when it works, but when it doesn't, it's fucking really bad. Yeah, not excited for that.
Well, I was gonna say that I think you missed on the point. It's a trilogy, so there's still
more. Oh, I heard that part. Yeah, I was like, oh,
but maybe they're gonna Empire Strikes Back this shit, and, like, you know, it just like fucking amazing, right? Like the sequel is amazing.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, this film, I don't actually have the budget for it, but it did have a negative pickup cost of 20 million, which is like, not to like really wade into what a negative pickup cost, but it's like, it's kind of like a pre-sale, but it's not a pre-sale. It's basically the studio says, we're going to give you a fixed amount of money, which was $20 million once your film is done, versus sell pre-selling it in multiple markets. So essentially they got $20 million and this thing did 6.4. So yeah. Hopefully they're able to like get recoup some of the dosh selling it to streaming services. Where did you watch this, by the way? Did you see it in theater? Because it had a theatrical release.
I didn't watch it in theaters. No, I used my Scene points to rent
And I feel like you feel like you should have gotten those Scene points back.
it. I should have fucking gotten my Scene points back. But
So
it is what it is. You
I got
know,
not.
it's the.
I got nothing else to say. I am going to end on her quote. So unless you've got more to talk about, let me know.
Well, I got something to talk about, but it's not about this movie.
Okay, cool. So Kristen Lopez from The Wrap, she had this to say. There's little to get excited for watching Drive Away Dolls, even though there's a lot of sex to presumably get the audience's blood pumping. The problem is it's all awash in an unfunny, non-existent plot line that feels about 15 years too late.
And that is our wrap for the day. Please like and subscribe to this podcast. Tell your friends. If you want to get a hold of us, reach us at the www.howdyoulikethatmovie.com. So at what point when you were invited to go watch Ripley at TIFF, were you like, you know what? I should see if my co-host can also come, because you know he is part of the show too. And you know, he also during that episode discussed how much he's looking forward to Ripley and checking it out. At what point were you like, fuck it?
No comment. I don't like this accusatory tone that is this is the end of the interview. No, the actual reason
You're
was
like, I totally forgot about you.
It was like a media person. It was Heidi's media credentials plus one. I was the plus one.
Production by Rod Shaver, Vader Monkey Productions.